Can you talk about, from a clinical point of view, how your clinical operation sort of manages patients who've had on checkpoint inhibitors who call in and say they're having diarrhea?
Sure. So I think my practice has a significant experience with this at this point. It does make yellow flags go off for all of us. I think certainly the first step is to make sure that patients are maximally using antidiarrheal medicines like Imodium and Lamotil, because that can stop the problem. However, steroids are the next step or the next level of side effect management, and 1 milligram per kilogram oral steroids is typically what we will prescribe, with, of course, stopping or delaying the drug. And if that does not get rid of the diarrhea quickly, then patients need a colonoscopy, and they may need IV steroids because the oral steroids may not be being absorbed effectively. So that's sort of the tiers that we've taught the nurses to think through and how to triage when patients call with diarrhea.
And what about the unusual situation where you really have a full-blown colitis? How do you manage those patients?
Yeah, so those patients should be admitted. Those patients need a colonoscopy. 2 milligrams per kilogram of prednisone and solumedrol twice a day is typically the steroids that we use. And if that's not enough, then infliximab is typically what we add in addition. Some more potent immunosuppressive agents can really be the difference. I've also used mycophenolate mofetil, which is another immunosuppressive agent we use for transplant with some success.
So another not uncommon problem with checkpoint inhibitors that seems to be a particular issue in lung cancer is pneumonitis. Can you talk a little bit about sort of how those patients present, how you figure out whether it's the drug or the disease or their underlying chronic lung disease, and how you manage these patients?
It's challenging. Lung cancer patients have symptoms from their cancer, obviously, and usually because they smoked as well. And so they have an ongoing level of symptomatology that's just related to their comorbidities. Pneumonitis tends not to be subtle. It tends to be an abrupt change in how they're able to breathe. I've had patients with pneumonitis who presented not with cough or shortness of breath, but actually with fevers. And so that's always in the back of my mind when I'm seeing a patient who's complaining of more shortness of breath, more cough, and fevers. A CT scan is usually my first stop. A chest x-ray is good for screening and surveillance maybe, but the anatomy is so much better with a CT that I'll send patients for it the same day if need be. And the findings on a CT scan indicate pneumonitis are not subtle either. I use my pulmonologists quite a lot to distinguish between a pneumonitis and maybe a rapid progressive disease. You'll get cancer cells back if it's progression, and you'll get lymphocytes back and no cancer cells if it's a pneumonitis. You also know then that it's not an infectious pneumonitis or an infectious pneumonia, and that's important when you're considering walloping the patient with large doses of steroids. So if the bronchoscopy and the cell count come back showing high level of lymphocytes, I feel confident to start the patient, usually admit the patient, start the patient on oral or IV steroids, 1 to 2 milligrams per kilogram a day.